Welcome to the Apologia podcast, the audio-only archive of the Apologia YouTube channel. Note that some content was designed to go with visuals, but the imagination can be a powerful thing. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider giving it a 5-star rating on the podcast app you're using now to help us reach more people. Or, since this endeavor is ad-free, consider going a step further and supporting us for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/apologia. But for now, let's get to the episode. Part of the Creationist for Cash series, posted February 16, 2021, titled Twisting the Bible to Push Essential Oils. Last year, Eric Hovind's Creation Today ministry abandoned making free content for platforms like YouTube and Facebook, and he is instead hosting paid entry Zoom calls on a weekly basis for his financial backers.
Hey, I'm excited about today's webinar. By the way, let me say thank you to all of you that are Creation members. Those of you that are members and you have signed up to get these.
But subscription streaming isn't Eric's only attempt to boost revenue. The Creation Today store recently added a selection of essential oil products from a company called Young Living and took to Zoom to introduce his supporters to Megan Tremblay, touted as a natural health expert.
Tonight's conversation on essential oils and how they are God's gift to mankind.
This joins the B17 apricot seed products in their so-called health section, which you may recall from my previous video on these containers of literal cyanide that Eric wants you to ingest to cure cancer and how that got him in trouble with the FDA. You may also recall that video was a co-production with a then brand new YouTuber, Genetically Modified Skeptic, now one of the largest skeptic channels on the entire platform.
So Eric Hovind has moved into essential oils now, has he? That's less surprising than you wearing a black shirt, Paul.
What's your encouragement to people? Because I know, like, Creation Today, my mom's into this. She said, Eric, I want Creation Today to carry these oils and help people. And, you know, we want to help in body, mind, and spirit and really help people understand these things. I love focusing on the intellectual aspects of things. And this is something that intellectually I haven't known a lot about.
Okay, Paul, no cracks about Eric focusing on intellectual things.
I wasn't gonna.
I've always been curious. Where is the intersection between science and scripture?
Wherever the intersection between science and scripture might be, it's not found in essential oils.
And unfortunately, Eric is on record repeatedly to let everyone know that when science and the scripture are at odds, he automatically chooses the Bible instead.
They get a lot of great science, but there's a limit to how far that science can go. And then you take the authority of scripture on your side and you go, well, wait a minute, we've got the author, the one who told us how all this works. So
that's a bad way to come up with beliefs about the universe, but an even worse way to look after your health.
And when the Bible talks about oils and the Bible talks about these things, okay, what's really going on here? Why are these things used?
The Bible does not talk about essential oils as we think of them today, so thoroughly distilled and unadulterated with other substances. Medicine has been plant-based for almost all time, and the Bible does allude to that. So why aren't you saying the Bible mentions herbs, therefore we should all buy herbs from your website? That would be closer to what regular people of biblical times would have used, yet we're not doing that for some reason.
But in this intro, Eric is signaling two things to his audience. First, that there is science to be learned in regard to essential oils. And second, that the real reason to care is that essential oils are biblical. So don't worry too much about that first point.
I've always wondered, and I got to be honest, maybe it's because I talk to skeptics all the time, I find myself skeptical of lots of things.
It's good that Eric finds himself skeptical sometimes. But if he was inclined to actually act on that skepticism, he would have vetted the subject better and not relied on his mom for information. It's easy to find reputable sources speaking about the massive legal issues this company has had and how they purposely use their distributors to make illegal curative claims. The FDA's warning letter to Young Living from 2014, for example, cites instances of Young Living products being illegally marketed as cures to Ebola, Parkinson's disease, autism, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, insomnia, heart disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, dementia, and multiple sclerosis. In summer of 2020, Business Insider also released a 3-part investigative series on Young Living's legal history. Some highlights: Young Living distributors were found to be marketing oils as cures to cancer and coronavirus. Young Living's founder, Gary Young, had an extensive criminal history, including practicing medicine without a license and treating cancer patients with the ineffective and toxic substance Laetril. And finally, that 89% of Young Living distributors make an average of just $4 annually. All of this is just a Google search away for the skeptically minded.
I want to know, I want to understand, you know, when I take my lavender bath, all right, when I get in my lavender bubble bath and it relaxes me, is that a placebo effect? Is it because I've told myself that? Or is there literally something going on in my brain that's going?
I mean, technically, the placebo effect is literally just something going on your brain. It is convinced that a fake treatment is real, and that positive thinking alone creates the perception for yourself that you're getting better. And sometimes this psychological effect is enough for the patient to be satisfied.
And as we'll see, the kind of healing that's being promised here is almost entirely emotional and psychological healing in the first place.
So before we get into the manipulative marketing tactics being used to coerce well-meaning Christians, let's see what kind of science claims were sprinkled briefly into the 80-minute seminar.
Essential oils, so they're the essence of the plant, right?
Essence is a purposely vague and therefore malleable term. Also, no, the oil that a plant produces does not heal the plant or carry nutrients. She's paraphrasing Young Living's founder, Gary Young, who has repeatedly and incorrectly claimed that essential oils are the lifeblood of the plant. They're not. Plants don't have specialized immune systems in the way we do. Instead, they produce lipid structures that carry compounds which are often toxic to many pathogens, fungi, and insects. They're a defense mechanism, not part of the plant's metabolism. Apparently, she's been doing this for 11 years, but still isn't getting the definition of essential oil right. It's almost like she learned all of this from an unreliable source.
You're getting the oil. It's a volatile compound. It's very small. And so what it does is it enters the nose through scent, and it hits the limbic system of the brain. So at first, it causes an emotional reaction.
All smells are processed through the olfactory system, which connects to multiple parts of our brains, including those involved in our limbic system. Essential oils have no special claim on that. We may react emotionally to an essential oil scent, yes, just like we may have an emotional reaction to any scent which we may like, dislike, or associate with certain memories. There's an idea within Young Living that essential oils produce specific emotional reactions which are unrelated to the simple enjoyment of the smell or any associated memories. Young Living even has a specific oils collection called the Feelings Kit, which they market as efficacious in producing extremely specific psychological experiences. Forgiveness oil, for example, supposedly allows the release of harmful memories and promotes a willingness to move forward, while inner child oil helps reconnect with the authentic self. These oils may also come with phrases called affirmations, which users are to speak aloud while using an oil in order to alter the quantum state of the oil to be better suited for the intended purpose. I wish I was kidding. Young Living's specific claims in this regard have not been verified by any clinical testing. I mean, I'm not sure how one could even scientifically test whether or not an oil can connect a person to their inner child anyway. Their data on this subject are nothing but anecdotes, along with vague explanations of the involved biology and chemistry, which help convince those who know little about the subject that Young Living's ideas aren't wholly fabricated.
So essential oils work emotionally on us before they work physically on us.
Sounds like the placebo effect to me.
But they are so tiny that they do penetrate our skin. So for instance, 3 seconds after you've smelled an essential oil, it also has affected your heart, thyroid, and liver. So 26 seconds, it's in your bloodstream.
How does she know it affects each organ with this precise timing? And what effects is she talking about? Science deals in testable hypotheses, and scientifically rigorous claims are backed up with empirical data. I'm not sure if her claims are clear enough to be testable, and I'm certainly not seeing any supporting evidence cited.
It's going through your body very quickly because it's so small. And they're so potent that one drop of essential oils has 40 million trillion molecules covering every cell of your body with 40,000 molecules.
What does she mean by this statement about molecules? Couldn't one drop of anything have enough molecules in it to outnumber the cells in our body? And does she actually think a precise number of oil molecules are in contact with every cell in our bodies if we use an essential oil? I'd really love to see the study that demonstrated that one.
When I finally opened the bottle and smelled it, it smelled much different than perfume lavender because the lavender oil that we use is pure.
Here she mentions that her oils are pure and therefore different somehow. However, Young Living certifies their own oils as pure with no outside influence or regulation. Their purity standard, 100% therapeutic grade, has no meaning whatsoever outside the company itself. On top of that, some independent testing of Young Living essential oils has actually found synthetic compounds in their quote-unquote therapeutic-grade oils. Don't worry, though, as the company assures its distributors that those results were simply part of a social media smear campaign, even though the company refused to publish their own purity testing results when faced with independent lab results showing the adulteration of their oils.
I love the citrus, you know, that to me, citrus means clean. That's what, now that you're saying this, I'm like, okay, I think of citrus as maybe that's why they... Maybe I'm only thinking that because of the commercials of all the citrus cleaning.
I was just going to say, you've been programmed to believe it. Right.
Programmed to believe it is a phrase I would use in this discussion as well.
So originally, right back in Genesis, when God breathed it all into existence, he used his voice to create everything. But our plants were created with his voice. So he actually named them. We don't know what he called them. Right. We assume peppermint or lavender and peppermint. But they have his voice, and voice is a frequency. You can trace that frequency. We can now see it on monitors and everything else. So frequency has a lot to do with our body. Our body responds to negative frequencies or positive frequencies.
Essential oil gurus, like other naturopathy fans, love to talk about frequency and all its effects. The problem is, most people who invoke this term cannot define what frequency is. Frequency of what? How is that measured? Molecular vibration is definitely a thing, and vibrational frequency is something which can be observed. The way essential oil fans often use this term, however, is reminiscent of how astrologers reference orbital motion. Yes, orbital motion exists, but no link has been demonstrated between the orbit of Neptune and your love life. Similarly, molecular vibrational frequency is real, but no connection has been scientifically demonstrated between this vibration and your health. Molecular vibration is always happening, so it is present in any interaction of any compound with your body, but it's not a factor which medical science uses to describe interactions between medicines and the body. Law of attraction, homeopathy, and crystal healing folks also invoke frequency in their postulations, but not because it's relevant. The fact is, this term is so nebulous but sciencey sounding to people that it's easily and convincingly used to support unfalsifiable hypotheses involved in these forms of pseudoscience. This term is not being used in a way which actually has any meaning other than feigning sophistication.
And that has everything to do with vibration and what you say. We have, you know, different studies done on water. When people say good things or bad things to water, well, we're water, plants have water, it affects us. So plants carry positive frequencies. And we know this. I mean,
oh boy, this is a reference to a piece of Young Living and naturopath lore right here. They have the idea that water can be imbued with unique properties simply from absorbing the frequency of different emotive words. Water and essential oils can supposedly take on positive vibes if we speak positively to it, and negative vibes if we speak negatively to it. This is based on the writings of Japanese author and businessman Masaru Emoto, who famously claimed that human consciousness could affect the molecular structure of water. Specifically, he tried to show that thinking positively toward water could both purify it and make it produce more beautiful ice crystals than average, as if the latter is even a scientifically testable claim at all. Emoto did not publish his work in any scientific journals, and his methods have been widely criticized as too uncontrolled, too vulnerable to human error for his experimental results to be seriously considered. James Randi even invited the guy to take the $1 million paranormal challenge, where if Emoto could reproduce the experiment under test conditions agreed to by both parties, he'd be given $1 million. Emoto naturally declined. Unfortunately, Young Living reps, like most naturopathy practitioners, are not taught how to read or recognize peer-reviewed material. They couldn't tell an experimental result was bunk if they read it for themselves, so they unfortunately parrot bunk from their trusted company.
And these plants, it's incredible over these 11 years to just hear testimonies about how, hey, you know, Megan, did you smell the peppermint? I think peppermint changed, you know, and I get to say, well, was the squash in your garden bigger this year than it was last year? Did you reap more harvest in this plant than you did last year? Because the plant kingdom responds to the season in which we will need them.
She'll tell us later that she's a student of geologist turned alternative health educator David Stewart, and this is his talking point. He says that essential oils fit our bodies more perfectly than any other compounds because they were made by God a few creation days before mankind, showing that God was thinking ahead to our creation when he made them. The moral of that story is that nature only exists for our benefit and that essential oils are 100% perfect, even to a divine extent, because God made them for us. Many Young Living reps believe essential oils cannot cause allergic reactions because they believe this claim. Allergic reactions have been proven to happen, but many Young Living reps write these off as some sort of misuse of the oil. This thought process is similar to certain Christians believing that God will always protect his children, but then when something bad happens to a Christian, other Christians may blame the victim and say they must have done something wrong to deserve it.
Yeah, because of COVID, we're locked in, okay? That's what's going on. Yeah, which, hey, you want to make some money, you find the oil that kills you.
No, don't go there, Eric.
Oof, she's saying don't go there because Young Living reps have already gotten into legal trouble in the past for claiming their oils can cure viral infections, among many other things. While I don't know what legal action has been taken at this point, that Business Insider investigation I mentioned earlier does report on Young Living reps touting their oils as cures for COVID, which could earn Young Living, at the very least, another FDA warning letter. I wish I could say that most Young Living reps have learned their lesson by now, but from my observations as someone who keeps tabs on that community, it seems most have simply taken to making curative claims in private rather than in public forums where they could actually be held accountable for breaking the law. Just join any small private essential oil group on Facebook to see what I'm talking about.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with essential oils.
That is kind of cool, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's over 200,000 deaths a year based on wrongly prescribed, you know, medication.
This is misleading and dangerous. Essential oils can cause allergic reactions, which in some cases can be life-threatening. Some can also cause chemical burns when applied to the skin. Additionally, essential oils can react with sunlight and cause sunburns, sometimes severe, when applied to the skin and worn in the sun. Emergencies involving essential oils constitute a regular part of monthly emergency room visits in the U.S. Many essential oil fans refuse to acknowledge this, however, because they've attached their ideas about essential oils to the theology upon which they base their personal identity. Simply put, these people cannot change their minds about how essential oils work without changing their minds about how God works.
Well, we now know emotionally the top of the right ear helps you with things that may have been said over you growing. You will never be, you can't, you're not enough.
This is a reflexology / emotion mapping claim, which has no evidential basis. Young Living teaches its reps that various nerve bundles in different parts of the body have a direct connection to specific emotions. They also tend to teach that emotions are quite literally held in various organs and nerves in the body outside of the brain. This is a purely superstitious belief which borrows from Chinese traditional medicine, a tradition which, by the way, contains plenty of non-Christian religious elements.
Now, you said there are scientific articles that help support these things as well. It's like, these aren't just, oh, it did it for me, therefore it does it for everybody. I've always wondered how much scientific research has gone or even can go into something when it seems like there could be so many different factors. How do you do a scientific study on these things? But you said they're doing it, they've done it, they're doing it.
They're doing it. You can just even go on PubMed.gov.
Eric is right that these claims of hers would be very difficult, if not impossible, to test scientifically. Her answer is nothing more than what Young Living reps are taught to say when asked for evidence of their claims. Look up blank on PubMed and you'll find all the scientific research on blank. PubMed is just a database for articles across reputable and non-reputable medical publications. Being on PubMed does not imply that an article is reputable. Further, this claim shows the scientific illiteracy among most Young Living reps. The fact that frankincense is mentioned or utilized in a research article has no bearing on any of its properties. In order to support the claim that frankincense can stop cancerous tumor growth, a common claim among Young Living reps because it was directly taught by Gary Young, frankincense must not simply be mentioned in an article. It must be isolated as the causal factor in tumor growth cessation in at least one article which utilizes a sound methodology, involves enough participants to rule out statistical anomalies, and is free from conflicts of interest. Even then, such a find must be repeatable by independent researchers in order for the idea to be upheld by the worldwide medical community. She should have specific studies on hand to back up all the medical claims she's making, but since those studies don't exist, she says, go look on PubMed and you'll find lots of science about essential oils. This is the essential oil user's version of research flat earth. Of course, there are countless studies utilizing essential oils. From what I understand, the antimicrobial and antifungal properties of some essential oils are of particular interest to the medical community because, if shown sufficiently efficacious, some essential oils could be used as cleaning agents. Using essential oils may be preferable to using current industrial disinfectants in some cases because they would not exert a selection pressure under which pathogens may evolve immunity to our strongest disinfectants. Further, there are some scientific research-based medicinal uses of essential oils. Peppermint, for instance, is an effective vasodilator, which can help open restricted or irritated sinuses. Still, though, this does not mean that these oils are curative in any way.
Yeah, everybody wants to prove it, and so the ultimate proof is you. They react differently to you based on your experiences and where your body's at.
No, the ultimate proof of the efficacy of an essential oil is not your personal experience with them. That is an incredibly unreliable, biased source of information. This claim tends to fly pretty well in certain Christian circles, though, because personal experience is such an integral part of their entire belief system. So can you really skeptically question your personal experience with essential oils if you can't question your personal experience with Jesus? If you do, you might end up like me, a person who holds so little confidence in personal experience's reliability in determining the cause of specific thoughts, emotions, and sensations that you can't honestly say that your personal relationship with Jesus hasn't always been entirely psychosomatic.
Wow.
Wait till you try it in your stews and things like that. The flavor is amazing. Amazing.
I mean, if you were marketing this as a mere cooking ingredient, I wouldn't be making this video. I won't attempt to dispute your claims of deliciousness.
So with oils, it's not exact. It's whatever God has you do. And I know that sounds so simplistic, but he's so good to us in that way. Mm. When I take an oil and I put it over my heart and I pray, I know it's going in my body to do whatever it is he has it to do for my body. And I don't have to know all the answers.
If any oil will do, and any amount will do, and God can use it to do any arbitrary good thing in your body, or nothing at all, at God's sole discretion, then we're talking holy supernatural processes, and the addition of the oil has added nothing, except to line someone else's pockets. If anointing with oil actually means something, but any oil, in any amount, is fine, then go look for some canola oil in your pantry. God will work according to your heart, right? Not how much you spent at Eric's store.
We have grown up in a society where we think we have this ailment. What's the prescription?
Right now, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going, wait a minute, I can go down to the pharmacy here and I can get stuff for arthritis. So
you can, but you can also read the list of the side effects that are on it.
Yeah. And I'm going, okay, so my brain thinks like that. My brain thinks, okay, this is hurting. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. What do you have to do to get rid of this pain? What is this going to take?
And there are oils that you can look up that have properties in them, chemical constituents like sesquiterpenes and monoterpenes and phenols and the way they interact in the body. And some oxygenate, right? And some do things to cells that are just miraculous in their own right. And you can look those things up and that will give you guidance. But if I tell you it's definitely this, right? And you know, frankincense does 10,000 things that we know about.
Right. So far that we know about, yeah.
So far that we know about. And there are over 400 types so far that we know about of lavender plants.
Oh my goodness.
So for me to say, take this to do this, it's man-made wisdom.
Most people call that science. You know, the single most reliable method for making accurate predictions about the universe we live in. There are some questions for which the scientific method may not be the best tool to answer them, but what effect is a particular chemical going to have on a biological system? is exactly the kind of question for which science is perfectly equipped.
So Young Living has actually worked with a government agency to show the scientific data proving that certain ones are ingestible. So the ones you have that would have a white label on them, peppermint has a green label and it has a white label. And so the white label says that it's been approved for ingesting. The green label, which there's no difference in what's in the bottle, it's just that certain government agencies are over certain things that others are over a different thing.
She's correct in saying that Young Living has worked to have their white labeled Vitality line certified as dietary supplements which are safe to ingest. Young Living reps usually believe that all Young Living oils are safe to ingest, though. The answer on whether or not these are safe to ingest is often determined by whether the question was asked in public or in private. If in public, hers is the regular answer given. If in private, all Young Living essential oils can be ingested, of course. They're basically made by God himself, after all.
But these vague, flimsy claims aren't what the people at Creation Today are counting on to move their latest product. They're hoping to leverage biblical mentions, or even merely references to the biblical time frame, to make essential oils sound like they are a matter of theology and service to God. You want to serve God, right?
The Bible is full of them. And that's also super exciting.
Well, so, show some of those. Obviously, I got the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I get 10 points for giving.
You do.
If it's what the wisest of men brought for baby Jesus, how could you pass it up? Right?
Right. So that's the exciting part about essential oils and the biblical and the science. It's like, you know, sometimes I think God's just looking at us going, well, it's been in front of your face your whole life. So welcome to the party.
This Bible connection isn't an idea original to Eric Hovind, of course.
Healing Oils of the Bible is a great book that I've studied and researched. And I actually went and got taught by Dr. Stewart all about this.
Dr. David Stewart has a PhD in geophysics and completed one semester of medical school in 1973. Most of his career has been spent as a lecturer and author on the topic of alternative health care. He also worked extensively with Gary Young, the founder of Young Living. David is a celebrity within Young Living and is, only within the company, considered an expert on the chemistry and quantum properties of essential oils. This is not a topic on which he has any professional expertise. He is a naturopathic doctor, but this is a title which is not recognized in most U.S. states because naturopathic schools are not accredited institutions, the degree requires no practice or residency, and the methods are not evidence-based. Naturopathic schools, for example, often teach classes about how homeopathy works, even though the medical community worldwide has acknowledged homeopathy's complete lack of efficacy as demonstrated by multiple rigorous meta-analyses. David Stewart is not a qualified educator. He's a man with a degree which sounds impressive to Young Living reps, and he's positioned as a world authority on the subjects which Young Living would like to spin their own narrative on for the sake of making sales. He's a tool of the company, not an expert.
And growing up in Christian school and going to Christian college and things like that, there's just so much in the Bible we still don't know.
Like who wrote the books, when were the books written, which parts were added later. But I digress.
But he talks about how the Babylonians, you know, historically, they have records of them ordering cedar wood and myrrh and things like that.
Her first example is the Babylonians, which perhaps tells us a little about the level of Bible knowledge they're expecting their customers to have. Mere name recognition. Babylon is the villain of the Old Testament. Idol worshippers who invaded Israel and Jerusalem for their disobedience. In the book of Revelation, Babylon is symbolic of the sins of the world. Daniel and his friends were specifically called by God to reject the food and lifestyle practices of Babylon. But Megan is encouraging you to follow them.
And how the Egyptians, the women used to soak myrrh, the hippo fat, with myrrh and put it on their head.
Up next are the Egyptians, the nation that the Bible tells us enslaved the Israelites. To a Christian, this should be like getting endorsements from Genghis Khan's Mongols. Or Stalin's Soviet Empire, or maybe Caligula's Roman Empire.
I even use a blend today that the Roman soldiers used on their shoulders and their feet.
And there we go. It was tough on the muscles, beating your Lord and Savior, and persecuting that first generation of Christians. So that's how you know it works. We Romans had that secret formula to dish out 40 lashes all day long. No, this isn't the Bible. It's Bible adjacent. It should not be compelling to a Christian who thinks about this for a few minutes.
She gets into verses which mention oils after this. The problem with this is that these oils, herbs, and resins are not described as medically efficacious or even useful in these verses. They're mentioned because they were used ritually. Maybe there was a medical component to that, sure, but that can only be inferred from our extra-biblical knowledge of the culture of the time. Essential oils were used as God's perfect medicine back then is not an idea which any Christian sect has come to based upon the reading of the text itself. The idea has come from essential oil companies first and has then been worked into the reading of the biblical text.
God, when he made the plants, in my opinion, when you eat carrots or you eat lettuce or you take an essential oil, your body knows what to do with it. It processes it. The systems get what they need.
You're right. She slips in a quick God made the plants before what she admits is an opinion about biology to try to elevate this to scriptural interpretation or theology.
So we were created and put in a garden, right? We weren't put in a shelter. We were put in a garden. And so when sin entered and all that, then we covered ourselves and went inside and stayed out of the sun and all that. So essential oils are a way to bring the garden inside your home.
Right after getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden, Cain became a gardener and Abel raised sheep. But God rejected the plant offering and went for the meat. Mixed messages here for sure.
But frankincense. Yeah. All right. It was given to the Christ child at birth, like you read. It's mentioned directly 22 times by name throughout the Bible, and overall 81 times. That shocked me, right? Because you're a student of the Bible your whole life and you missed it.
Horses are mentioned 166 times, plus 154 mentions of donkeys, camels 71 times, bulls 171 times. If it's an argument from frequency, should we eat these instead?
Myrrh is actually something that was offered to Christ on the cross. It was on the sponge, and he refused it.
But Jesus refused it, so that's a strange endorsement. He also cursed the fig tree, so maybe there's fig oil?
Leviticus 14, God tells the priest to anoint and cleanse the lepers with cedarwood oil.
For some reason, Megan doesn't mention that in the same passage, the priest was supposed to first dip that cedar into the blood of two freshly killed birds. Will Creation Today begin selling medicinal bird blood as well?
A good point. If the tie between essential oils and the Bible is compelling to you, please take the time to look up each reference and see if what the Bible is commanding, if anything at all, matches what Young Living sales reps like Megan are suggesting you might do with it.
If they wrote a book about a pastor right now or about missionaries, they wouldn't necessarily say, and they took an aspirin because they had a headache, right? But along the line of watching a life of someone, you would see their habits. And so the Bible talks about these things in there and through there because they were such a part of the way they lived.
This is Megan's out. Casual mentions still somehow make the notion biblical. But we know that a huge chunk of the Bible is describing things that people did that God was not pleased with. Christians are quick to point out that most passages are descriptive, not prescriptive. And of course, Megan is actually very careful not to prescribe anything at all herself.
So I can't prescribe, diagnose, or any of that.
Instead, she defers her product recommendation and dosage entirely to God.
You know, we can turn and we can look in a reference material. We can get a prescription per se. But God's the author. So why not just pray and ask him how much you should use, which one you should use, what plant is good for your body? Because you are as individual as your thumbprint, right? So to God, your story is different than anyone, even if you had a twin. And so that's where essential oils are just, they're easy. But the Bible is full of them.
If her products worked, then you were using them the way God wanted. If they don't work, then you weren't using them the way God wanted. If this is how you handle your health, might I recommend just sticking with prayer? It's what God commands, and it's free.
So really what I want you all to take away from this is that our God is an awesome God, right? He serves every cell in our body, everything we've ever needed, everything we will ever need, he's provided. And so look deeper into the Bible. Read your Bible word for word. Find out what other treasures are there that we're missing.
hopefully, as Eric continues to look into the Bible himself, he doesn't find reason to begin selling even more pseudo-medicine. If he does, though, you know, we might just have to make this a trilogy. I know how much you like those, Paul, and I promise not to betray you for the dark side in the end.
As long as we don't do a prequel trilogy. One of those is enough for me. If for some reason you're not already subscribed to Genetically Modified Skeptic, fix that today. And check out his channel, where he takes on all kinds of woo and lends thought-provoking challenges to religious and skeptic communities alike.
Well, thanks for having me on, my friend, and I'm looking forward to our next team-up.
Tap on the thumbnail for Drew and my B17 expose, and I'll see you over there. Later.